Okay, as always, we'll turn to page one and start out with our invocation. Just a fill the atmosphere more with spiritual sound vibration. I think that some of you who are coming here regularly, you started to notice how the chanting changes your attitude, changes your vision. Starting to notice that? You come in with what your mind is one way, and then mystically, by hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, tap into something else. So we want everybody to experience that. And it's nothing theoretical. It's not like a religious belief. It's just the fact that you are in contact with true spiritual sound vibration, glorifying Lord Krishna. The more that you immerse yourself in this chanting, the more successful your life will be. I think I've explained before how you can ruin your life through sound vibration, and you can perfect your life through sound vibration. Can any of you think of examples of how you ruined your life through sound vibration? Can you think of anything?
About talking mundane topics?
Well, particularly, well, when you were younger, how did you get a conception about what you should do to be happy?
Satisfy your senses.
Well, how did you get that conception about what to do in particular? It came through your ear. Your friends, the television, movies, broadcasting messages that this is the way to be happy, this is the way to be fulfilled. So the contamination came upon you through your ear. In that way, sound vibration brought havoc in your life.
Yeah? What happens if you die?
You're deaf, you're spared from materialistic sound vibration, but it's also unfortunate that you're prevented access to pure sound vibration, just the conscious sound vibration. But you're not deaf, are you?
Yeah.
So, do you know any examples of how materialistic sound vibration ruined your life?
Not anything specific, really.
When you were a young teenager, listening to your friends, it would get you any hot water?
Probably.
Yeah, maybe. Anyone? A welfare worker?
Using nurses. Probably, yeah. Lots of trouble. I mean, the most happy is the illness from being a child and having you must have what the TV or whatever latest magazines told you must have it. And you do whatever to go and get it.
Do you remember any of those things you wanted as a child?
Yeah.
Like what?
You bought some sweets, really nice things. Yeah. So your parents say, no, you can't have it, and you have them in the church.
You were into sweets as a kid, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Anyone else? You were into sweets as a kid? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite fun. Yeah, you were into sweets as a kid? think I worry so much at all. Never. My mother always gave me an allowance, and it just didn't, you know, let's say, when I was 9 or 10, 11, I think my allowance was 25 cents a week, which, I bought 5 candy bars, 5 cents each for a candy bar. How much are they now?
43.
So back then, the equivalent of, I guess, you know, maybe, 4 GB? Yeah. I guess back then it was about 7 or 8 for a candy. So I had it all calculated. 25 cents, you know, 5 candy bars. Then when I was 12, she raised my allowance to 50 cents a week. So I had it all calculated. 50 cents a week meant 2 16-ounce Pepsis or Cokes. No, three. They were 15 cents each at the time. So 3 16-ounce Pepsis, bottles of Pepsi or Coca-Cola a week, with 5 cents left over for a candy bar. So my mother said, if you want any more money, you gotta work. Because I remember all the kids in school were laughing. I only get 50 cents a week. So I went to my mother complaining. She said, if you want more, gotta work. So I did. By the time I was 13, I was financially self-sufficient. So anyway, most of you bought lots of sweets as kids. You did too? And you heard about the sweets on television, and then your tongue tasted them? Is that it? How did you know what sweets to get? How did you know what candy bars to buy? You just look at the packages, or you talk to your friend. Anyone remember? You talk to your friends, which tastes good. Mars bars and stuff like that. Snickers. They have those in New Zealand? Mars bars and Snickers. What else?
Jawbreakers.
Oh, yeah, I remember those. Yeah, I remember jawbreakers. Isn't there a hot one, too?
There's a hot one. There's a spoon. And
Fireball, yeah. They still sell
them? I don't know, actually. Do they?
Those fireballs are really hot.
The only competition people keep theirs going the longest.
So, the kids would talk about it, right? And then you'd buy it, right? You also do? So, that's just a simple example about you hear, and then your tongue wants to taste, and you tell others about it. You were into sweets as a kid? Yeah? So there's a so-called innocent example. And what else? How many of you remember when you took your first drink of alcohol? Others were telling you about it, yes? Hey, let's do this. You remember? Sorry?
Yeah.
Others were telling you, right?
I think my mum bought me a cup of cider when I was going to a party, and I was like,
"What's that?"
A pack of four cans of cider.
Cider. Cider.
Yeah, cider.
Apple. Oh, it's fermented. So it's not like non-alcoholic cider.
No, alcoholic.
Oh, so she bought it for you?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, she's like initiating you or something.
She knew I was
going to
drink it, probably, so she thought she would just give me four cans to get even to the party.
When you were 14?
Yeah.
So what did you do, drink them?
I think I must have, yeah.
Anyone else? You remember examples of hearing from others, and then you get this idea in your mind? Yeah.
New car, new
what?
New
bag. New
bag? Bike. Used to be most bike, and then used to always have to get the lighters. Because the,
you know. I thought you were a charity worker.
Yes, I worked hard in between times, and when I was in the UK, I worked very hard as well. Mm-hmm. So
it wasn't all charity.
Oh, yes, we didn't only bounce a few. So, because my logical way of thinking about things is if you use it for the good of others, then, you know, and it gives you pleasure, then, you know.
It gives everybody else pleasure.
Yeah.
So if you feel good riding your motorbike, everyone feels good.
There's an opinion, yes. Yeah. Music taught me to slow down. But now I've got a nice car. So I have to stay in the traffic. Just a little.
What was this you were saying now? If you feel good, then everybody feels good?
Well, people around you, don't you? Because it's infectious, isn't it? If you feel good, then it's infectious, isn't it? Everyone else around it feels good.
So that's kind of like a welfare or charitable activity. But, now we're really getting to the heart of your philanthropy. However, quite a few weeks we're just hearing about, you know, the kids. Now we're trying to get to the heart of the issue, you know, motorbikes and flash cars and she had a school for a while.
This is a really nice one. You go to the showroom and it's a brand new car and nobody's driven it before. You know, and you get in and everything is like just brand new. And
it's got a particular smell when you fire it up.
Yeah.
You love it, don't you?
Yeah. And it's,
I can't believe this is our charity work. The kids.
It's the selfie side of me coming out. Usually.
Yeah, I see. That's what it is now. Amazing.
But can I just say, I'm the only single person that people know that's actually got a baby seat in the back of the car. I'm sure this is probably a bit sad, really, isn't it?
That's just like your disguise. That's your facade, right?
So there's usually some, my friend's baby or someone's baby in there anyway. You know, so it's good use. You can get them to nice places and play.
Okay.
That's my excuse on sticking to it.
Okay.
Interesting.
Alright, what's an example? No, I wasn't going to ask you about the news. What's an example of sound vibration that's helped you? Really changed your life. Mm-hmm. Can you think of any? You heard something which really just elevated your life and took it to a high level. Can't think of anything.
When I hear like accidents and stuff, it makes me treasure things more.
When what?
You know, when tragic happens and the accidents and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
What about something you've heard? It went through your ear and your whole life went to a high level. Can't think of anything. Can you think of anything? What's your name?
Nita. This is my first time.
Hi. Welcome.
Yeah. Kind of like prayers and things.
Oh? Yeah. What kind of prayers?
I'm Hindu, so
I'm
not that religious, but
we're not so religious around here. Kind of boring being religious, yeah. Really? But what did you hear that really took your life? Wow, way up there.
Is that the whole the process of performing the art things and things like that?
Mm-hmm. And you just felt your pants is just like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like you're trying to think doing this way.
And?
Well, I guess one thing that really did have an effect in my life, realistically, was when I started chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Nothing else really, I could honestly say that it had an effect in my life.
That's true. Throughout all the Vedic literatures, it's stated that the Hare Krishna mantra, called the Maha Mantra, great mantra for deliverance, is the prime means for enlightenment in this current age of degradation. That's true. And last time, I don't think you were here, Monday, we were discussing the negative and positive effects of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The negative effect being that your material desires are reduced, your materialistic fever comes down, and the positive effect being that you revive your dormant Krishna consciousness, your dormant love of Krishna. So that is the most profound effect of sound vibration, spiritual sound vibration. When those two things happen simultaneously, your material disease, the fever of material existence goes down, and the attachment for Krishna goes up. So if you regularly and seriously chant Hare Krishna every day, that's what you'll experience. It's not a question of being Christian, Muslim, Bindu, Hindu, Sindhu, whatever. It's all about simply putting your ears in contact with the Krishna conscious sound vibration. Just like if you put some bits of iron near a magnet, you might call the bits of iron Muslim or Christian or Hindu or this or that. But what's going to happen when the bits of iron are near the magnet? They're going to be attracted. Similarly, no matter what you label yourself, if you put yourself in proximity to the Hare Krishna mantra and you keep a proper state of mind, you must be attracted, because Krishna is all attractive. So if you can sort out your life and arrange it so that you're steadily developing attraction for Krishna by becoming attracted to the Hare Krishna mantra, then your spiritual development would be very easy. Anyone can do that anytime and any place. Okay? Once you start to seriously chant Hare Krishna, you'll notice that all the impediments that you thought were preventing you from seriously pushing on your spiritual life, they start to slide away by the power of the chanting. So, that's what I recommend that you do. If you become a serious chanter of the Hare Krishna mantra, you'll see your way through the fog quite easily, because Krishna will illuminate your path for you. Alright, we'll go to page one. Fine. Om Nagyanachinandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Saparandikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagnaraganatam Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vidhanscha Hey Krishna Karana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Avanchakalpa Kalubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Okay, let's turn now to page 157. We'll do text 69. This is chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized. Yanasha sarvabhutana tasyam jagati samyame yasyam jagati bhutani sanasha pasyato mune. Alright, who wants to read the verse?
What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective stage.
Okay, we'll stop there for a moment before going to the purport. And just think about it. Basically, in this verse, Krishna is saying there are two different worlds. It's not that everybody can share the same kind of existence. It depends on where they're at. The materialists have one conception of what life is all about. The spiritualists have another conception of what life is all about. Therefore, Krishna is saying, what is night for the materialists is day for the spiritualists, and vice versa. Each one sticks to his or her own vision or conception. That's just the way it is. Sometimes, you know, people say, well, why can't everything just be, you know, just merged together and whatever and this, that, and the other? People are at different places. People have different levels of consciousness. So Krishna here is telling you, basically, birds of a feather flock together. Those who are materialistic, they are one group. Those who are seriously and genuinely spiritually inclined, they are another group. That's just the way it is. Now, do any of you have a problem with that? Do you have a problem with that? Or does it seem to you that
everybody should just be, you know, all the same and just, you know, whatever, just, you know, just be and love and this and that? Huh?
Why is that not possible?
Everyone's different.
They're at different levels in their consciousness. Did you ever think like that?
Mm.
Everyone should just kind of be like, you know, just whatever and just...
No, I think everyone's at different levels mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Spiritually?
Mm.
Yeah. So you just can't artificially put people together. Especially you can't put genuinely spiritual people in with gross materialists. It's just not going to work. That's basically what Krishna is saying. You've got to recognize there's a difference. Does anyone have difficulty with that? Hitesh, do you have difficulty with that?
I have difficulty in now that I can see so much more. It's just, it's unbelievable what I can see. So I'm having difficulty being amongst the other crowd.
Why?
In terms of my own progression.
Why?
No. I feel that my own progression is kind of quite steady.
Mm-hmm.
But I always kind of want to convince the materialists not to be so materialist.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I kind of rant on about stuff.
It's all right to have that desire to help them, but you have to become qualified. The doctor has to heal himself first. So it's good to have that desire. But you have to equip yourself, become qualified. What is it that makes it hard for you to associate with your old friends?
Just that I can see, before I couldn't see any kind of perspective of where they were coming from. Stuff like things that they were saying, conversations that we'd have.
So they're all cool, huh?
Yeah, quite intellectual in a way, you know. Kind of, well, saying kind of really deep things and stuff.
Like what, for example?
They'd be discussing about books that they've read, such as The Big Philosophy.
And what?
They'd be talking about the latest books that they've read, or the latest art house film that they've watched, or the kind of, I don't know, the kind of high society kind of affairs, you know. And when we all talk about stuff like that, it's kind of, you give it dumb, you know what I mean, you don't want to kind of say what you feel is right, because, as you say, you're not qualified to say it. So, but now I see through that, now I see that I'm not as dumb anymore.
So you can't participate in those talks anymore. It's hard.
I can, but I just kind of couldn't really show up this thing.
Mm. Why aren't you thrilled anymore?
It's like I can see through it and
it's all pointless.
Yeah. Huh? It's going nowhere. It's just speculation. It's just it's really frustrating.
Were you at the university program last night?
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
What did you think of those conversations? Amazing, huh?
Yeah.
We had one lady who she says she's preparing to be a doctor, and she really was incredulous to hear that animals were living creatures. It's like when you bite into a Big Mac, you're biting into some creature's flesh. Some living entity's flesh. You really had a hard time understanding. You said, what? Really? It's amazing. And so what do you think? Well, I just thought the animals, they're just kind of like, what, things? Or they're just, you know. So, did you ever have pets? No. Did you ever kill an animal? No. But you really thought. Go to McDonald's to get a Big Mac, you stick your teeth into it. She's never thought this is the flesh of a living area that has been killed.
Never got her.
And then what about the couple there? They were funny, right? She was quite a bit older than you, wasn't she?
They were just friends, it wasn't a couple.
Huh?
They were just friends?
I don't know. I don't know what that means these days. What does that mean? What does that mean? Just friends? Not a couple? What does that mean, you know? What does it mean?
Friends?
Friend, well. I mean, maybe 30 years ago, if you just said, we're just friends, it meant that, you know, wasn't anything going on between you, but, you know, that doesn't have to be that these days, right? Always could be a bit of recreational activity, right?
I don't know, because as soon as a recreation activity is taking place, it kind of, there's a gap there, you know, it kind of...
Mm-hmm.
There's a gap there, once the goal has been achieved, so to speak.
Maybe more specifically. This is the stuff the ladies don't, they can't believe, man. They can't even be more specifically. Maybe once the goal is achieved, there's a gap.
There's a gap in terms of there's not that desire.
And once the man conquers, gets his conquest, then, well, why don't we just be friends, huh? Is that it?
No, I think like prior to the goal.
Oh, prior to the goal?
It's that. No, not. Yeah, prior to the goal, it's not let's just be friends, let's be friends.
Your listening's revealing all the secrets. Let's be friends. Yeah. Meaning open ended, huh?
Yeah.
And then after the goal is achieved?
I don't know, I'm just thinking of, it says that example you gave of the tiger.
The tiger?
Oh. Yeah. Kind of.
You like that one, huh?
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
You can have to tell them what it was.
Okay.
Those who weren't there.
I'll get to say it like you said it.
So, this couple, they were, I mean, she was a bit older than him, wasn't she? See? I mean, just worn out. But you were there, Tara. Wasn't she a bit older than him?
Maybe a bit. Yeah.
So, I was assuming that they had, I don't know how to put it, but you know, they had some kind of intimate relationship. But then she said, oh, but we're just friends. It's not like, you know, we have like a lasting relationship. Now, Lella Kuber said that as soon as she said that, the guy kind of looked crestfallen. Like, did you catch that?
No, I didn't see.
Yeah, I didn't see. But he said, you know, the guy was going, and then, you know, and then he started talking like that too. Yeah, yeah, we're just like together for the moment, you know, this and the other. But Nella Cooper says this when she first said that. No, no. I mean, we're not like, a bound relationship, you know. We're friends. And the guy's gone like that. Because he might have had, you know, he might have thought something. But she just, no, I mean, you know, we're just, you know. And the guy, yeah, we're just. Nella Cooper says, first he was kind of like, it was news to him. He thought maybe they really had something deep going. But then he quickly, you know, gathered his faculties and, yeah. So, she was saying how it's good to have someone like him because you have someone to talk to, someone who will listen to you, and someone who you can argue with. So I ask the guy, well, how do you feel about that? That you're her object for talking, and supposed to listen, and supposed to listen to her argue.
Yeah, it's all right for the moment. Yeah, for the moment it's all right.
And she didn't object.
Yeah.
For the moment, you know. You're discussing the difference between a living body and a dead body. And so I was saying, how would you feel if, you know, he's dead? You know, you'd be devastated. You know, wouldn't you be just, you know, it would be really a traumatic experience for you if he's dead. And she just goes, no. And, you know, our relationship's not like that. I mean, you know, we're friends, and, you know, I mean, it's not like, you know, it would be the end of the world, it's not like that. It was a matter of fact about it. What else? Oh, then we went back to the girl who was studying to be a doctor. And we were talking about intoxication and forgetfulness, false pleasure. So we asked her what she did for fun, and she explained going out on weekends, going to the pub, drinking. So I said, but the next morning, you suffer. You're hungover, you feel bad. She said, yeah, but it's worth it just to get those moments the night before. You felt like that before, somebody? It's worth it. Never mind the hangover in the morning. Just to get those moments the night before. No one ever felt like that? You ever felt like that?
No, don't drink that much.
Not that much?
No, I don't drink to get drunk. Don't see the point.
So you drink for the taste?
Yeah, just like one or two.
Just curious.
If that serves its purpose, you know, to socialise and then...
What's the purpose?
To socialise if you're going out or...
So you drink just so people will feel that you're part of the scene?
If I want to, it's not that I feel the need to, because other people are drinking. I don't want to drink that as often or heavily.
But you wouldn't say what's that? So you wouldn't say, well, I'll just have some fruit juice.
It doesn't have to be alcoholic.
But why the alcohol? I'm just curious.
Just for the taste.
Taste of alcohol? Oh. I haven't met that many people like it. Really? Possibly?
Is it flavor?
Alcohol has a flavor? Is it so?
Well, it's not alcohol in its pure form, obviously. It's the taste of...
Fermented... that fermented alcohol, whiskey and stuff like this, fermented.
Oh, that not spirit.
You see how much I know. So, you could relate to this girl saying, it was worth it, even though you feel hungover and you have a splitting headache the next morning. Just those moments the night before made it all worthwhile. No one ever felt like that? Tara, you never felt like that?
No, not really. Not in the morning.
In the morning, I'll never do that again, huh?
Yeah.
And then what, until the next weekend, right?
Yeah, but recently I've been
drinking too. That's good. But before, you would say never again, and then when you're around your friends the next weekend.
Yeah, I do.
Come on, Tara, good times, right? Do the ladies ever notice when they're at parties that it's often it's the men who really want them to drink? Yeah, you notice that.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do?
They often like buy you drinks or should we go to one and get another one? Usually they'll get drunk and I'll be still having the drinks, but I won't get drunk.
Yeah.
So yeah, just make it
well, why do you think they want you to drink, the men?
It's probably so they have more control over situations.
I was putting a chair in the way. Meaning?
If they're about to make a move, then they have the opportunity and
right.
You won't have control over your own
right.
Actions.
Right. Any of you guys ever used to do that? Our welfare worker, do you ever do that?
No, I haven't actually. No, I should have thought of that.
A taste, do you ever do that?
Never. I remember that. You said.
You guys never did anything like that?
I like money.
Never happened to you guys?
I think it may have happened.
So then in the morning you say, never again. But then, the next weekend, because of your association, because of people you're hanging out with, it happens again. And you don't want anything else to do with your life, right? Okay? You gotta fill the time some kind of way, right?
Yeah.
And it does something with your senses. Your senses have something to do, right?
I mean, what are you supposed to do on a weekend? Just be alone? Any of you remember a lonely weekend feeling? Huh? What's wrong with my life? Look, it's Friday night. It's a Saturday night. I'm just here alone. I can't believe it. Everyone's out having fun.
You felt like that?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you have it? Why was it like that?
Because sometimes you just don't feel it. Come to the purpose.
You just sat at home and in your flat and just watch TV or just listen to music or stare at the wall or something?
I'm just not frustrated.
Remember that lonely weekend feeling, anyway? You remember today? Or you didn't have too many lonely weekends?
I have been quite content. Like,
taking pictures.
I'm not very good recently to take pictures.
Oh really? I thought you'd do it all your life.
Just really?
How long have you been studying at the university?
I've just graduated, so I just did a 3-year course.
Really? Before that, never?
Yeah. It's a real empty feeling. I remember feeling it. Oh, Friday night, Saturday night. Everyone's having a good time.
So in order to avoid that feeling, you'll do certain things, right? Why not drink and carouse? Just not to have that horrible feeling. Being left behind while everyone else is having a good time. You never had that feeling? The weekend? Empty weekend feeling?
Not really. I don't really mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just happy to just be my own thing. I don't have a need to go out anywhere. just get on the clock every day.
So my guys call up, hey, yeah, let's go. You just...
No, no, I'm happy to do my own thing.
Maybe. Maybe some other time.
You say like that?
Yeah.
You can always find something interesting to do, but not to drink.
Yeah.
Can you go for more?
Well, that's what I say, but you're the one. I'm just trying to get at, do you remember vividly this empty weekend feeling? I remember. For me, I just couldn't get out there and do what everyone else was doing. Even though I wanted to, in one sense, I couldn't. It just didn't make sense to me. Even my father would urge me, come on, get out there. I just couldn't. As a young teenager, I was just always analyzing. Mm. Okay, you do this, then you do that, then there's that. Doesn't make sense. And I would ask myself, well, why? I always have to try to figure out whether things make sense or not. How can I be happy like everyone else? Just let the good times roll. But for a while, as a teenager, I thought, oh, I'm so unfortunate. I always have to think about things. And all the older teenagers in the neighborhood, they'd always be boasting of their exploits. But, you know, guys. Yeah, I was with this girl last weekend. You don't know what you're missing. I did this and we did that. That's half of his lies. But anyway, yeah. Never happened to you? Never felt like that? Like, wow, you're all out there having a good time. Hmm? When's my chance going to come? This shows you how materialistic association brings so much unnecessary anxiety in your life, so much stress. I'm not getting it, and everyone else is getting it. So then you're happy when your friends or someone calls you up, come on over, we're doing it, right? Remember that? Wow. You remember? Finally, my time has come. What did you feel like when that first call came?
Included.
You're included. You made it, right? But someone just called you up and said, hey, come on over.
Yeah.
So what did you do? And then?
Oh, it's just...
You were determined to make your permanent presence, right? You were probably telling yourself, yeah, that'd really be cool. And, just say the right things and act the right way, okay? You really had to perform, right?
Yeah.
And you're always thinking, like, wow, am I talking to the right people here and at the party and how are they thinking of me? But I guess after a while, you start drinking and then you just, it all just happens naturally, right?
Yeah. So, and you start drinking before you go.
So you started before you left.
Yeah,
to make sure you were past all inhibitions, right? So you really be super cool by the time you arrive, right? And so the whole goal was that, you know, these people, they would include you in from then on.
Yeah, I guess so.
But did they?
No.
What happened?
Well, you end up just either making a fool of yourself or...
Well, tell us about it. you got a little intoxicated and you went up to a girl to talk to her and you found out it was the girlfriend of some guy there and you got angry.
More just like, But you know, because kind of you just went there. And this, and I just always find that I couldn't be myself because I wasn't really, I didn't feel like I was like other people, but I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So you just try and find somebody to be like that. And
try to find what?
Find somebody just to be on the same level as other people, like, because
Because without that, then it was just kind of, just felt like maybe they just wouldn't like me or something, so you just try and just be comfortable in the situation, which situation I would have normally been comfortable in, and you just find a way because...
they didn't invite you back, huh?
No, they did, but it was more, I don't know, it's more like they're doing you a favour, you know?
They're being compassionate about you, huh?
Yeah, to some extent.
Yeah, this guy is really just not winning it. Give him a call, tell him to come over. Yeah. Maybe we can bring him up to the real standard, but.
Yeah, I guess so. No, which is, I never felt totally comfortable in the situation, so I was kind of felt like I had to, you know, just be a little bit more than other people to make up for it.
So everybody noticed that.
Yeah, just so you can, like, be the cool guy. And, yeah.
they thought the others thought you were trying too hard.
I don't know what they thought.
But you just never felt like you were part of the scene, huh?
Not really, no.
Mm-hmm. What about the girls? Did the girls ever, like, you know, get charitable and say, oh, you know, we can see you really don't know what you're doing, you know, that's all right, you're kind of cute in your own way.
It wasn't so much like that. I don't think I thought about it, too. Huh? I don't think I gave it too much thought at the time.
No, like, you know, girls, they never said like that, you know? Like, you know, somebody was like, we can see that you're really not, you know, you're not like kind of, you're a bit naive, that's all right, you kind of shoot your own way.
I don't know, I don't even know.
Girls never say stuff like that?
Not
really. How do they say it?
They might think it would have been.
Well, they would think it. They wouldn't say. They would just, what would they just think? Well, this guy, he's like a challenge, like the fruit that hasn't been, you know, bitten too much, so maybe has some special flavor. Well, what would they think? You know, this guy, you know, he's not as hardened as the other guys. He's, you know, looks like he's trying a bit too hard to be cool. Actually, he's kind of a nice, gentle guy, you know. Yeah, anything like that? Yeah, they probably would figure, we'll give him a try. Who knows? You don't like him, you just spit him out. Like a diversion, you know? Interesting thing for the night. The girls have been through all the cool guys and stuff. So, yeah, they know all of them already. Hey, look at this one. Naive. That could be interesting. Yeah? What do you think, Tara? You never felt like that?
Not really.
You're always a bit different too, aren't you? You always just wanted the perfect feeling, right?
Well, I guess so.
Yeah. So, just see, all these things you go through according to the association you keep. Wild, isn't it? Wild. All because of who you're associating with. You get all these delusions and plans and expectations and schemes. And what's the beginning of it all? You don't want to be alone, especially on the weekend. Right? You don't want to be alone on Friday and Saturday night with everyone else now having a good time.
I don't know, I've never been a problem in problem person.
Never been alone?
A problem in problem person.
You always stayed home on weekends?
Yeah, pretty much.
You never hoped, when will Mr. Wright come and just take me out of this loneliness?
Thought of that one, yeah.
You are. And based on that, you do things. You're not No one is just going to sit there weekend after weekend in their lonely house. You know, after a while, you're going to do something. I've got to get some action. It's not possible. You wouldn't stay weekend after weekend in your home watching TV alone. Yeah, you gotta get out there.
Yeah, you don't have to go out as in,
I used to go to concerts alone.
I prefer it that way.
But don't you always go, I wish someone would be here with me to share this experience?
Yeah, but people are into so many different things. They'd rather go out to the clubs than the pubs. Well, I'd rather, try different things.
I remember in New York City, this is during the height of the musical times in the early 70s, late 60s. I see all the greats, all those fantastic concerts, like 2 or 3 times a week. I just always, if there could only be someone to share these extraordinary moments with me. You think like that?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, someone to discuss it with.
Discuss it with. Yeah. And then one thing leads to another.
Someone to share that kind of interest, but...
Right. Yeah. Then one thing leads to another. That's the way material nature works. Necessarily. Necessarily. Yes. How old are you?
20.
Still a little bit young. You know, one thing always leads to another. Right, Clara?
Yes.
Yeah. This is my point. In order to fight off this loneliness and this lack of reciprocal relationship, you start doing things. Just like you go to the theater, someone to share this moment with, to discuss the theater play. That's all I want, you know. And based on that need, things happen. Yes.
Well, not really. I was content in just going to the theatre, it made me happy to see the performance, and that was it.
For now. But as you said, you do wish when you're at the theatre experiencing the agonies, the ecstasy. If I would be someone with me who I could just discuss this, which is just amazing. We have so much to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
That's where it starts. That's my point. That's where it starts. I also used to think like that. I used to see all these incredible concerts, all the greats. I just want someone there to share these things with.
It's a work calling so far, isn't it?
Work calling?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
But, if you've been to, around the theatre, and you know, they go to what happened, the following day, you forget you weren't coming to it.
Following day.
The blow-by-blow account.
Is that what you did? The following day?
What?
You give your work colleagues or school colleagues, last night's the most amazing play. Yep. So that makes up for being alone.
Just to let them know that you were supposed to play one day and see it.
And then you feel satisfied?
Yep.
What do you think, Tara? She's still a bit young, huh? Give her a couple more years, huh? You have to associate with someone. You have to associate with some group of persons. So the point Krishna is making in this verse is There are two types of persons, the gross materialists and those who are genuine spirituals, and they are two different groups. All right, let's look at the purport. Who's going to read that?
There are two classes of intelligent men. One is intelligent in two activities with no specification, and the other is introspective and awake to the cultivation of self-realization. Activities of the introspective stage or thoughtful man are night for the person who is fully absorbed. Materialistic persons remain asleep in such a night due to their ignorance of self-realization. The introspective sage remains alert in the night of the materialistic night. The sage feels transcendental pleasure in the gradual advancement of spiritual culture, whereas the man in materialistic activities, being asleep to self-realization, dreams of varieties of sense pleasure, feeling sometimes happy and sometimes distressed in his sleeping condition. The introspective man is always indifferent to materialistic happiness and distress. He goes on with his self-realization activities undisturbed by material reactions.
So where would you like to be? Which class?
Not the material one.
You want to be the introspective sage who feels transcendental pleasure in the gradual advancement of spiritual culture? As opposed to the other who dreams of, who's asleep to self-realization and dreams of varieties of sense pleasure, feeling sometimes happy and sometimes distressed in his sleeping condition. What do you think it is?
No, I agree with you. To say that because I kind of get very excited when I as I say, get in a gradual advancement spiritually.
Gradual advancement of spiritual culture. That's what we're doing here. We're creating a gradual increase in spiritual culture so you can all feel and experience and take pleasure in. But those who want to remain asleep in the darkness of material ignorance, they don't like that. But you all are gradually becoming acclimated to genuine spiritual culture. And its importance. Paramount importance. So what about the student last night who was going to be a doctor, and she was telling me, look, even though you're hungover the next morning, it's all worth it just to have those few minutes of pleasure the night before. Would you have ever said anything like that? You? Like, hey, that's just the way it is. Everything has a price.
Because you can talk about it the next day. You find out you have the night before.
Really?
Even if you're sick the next day.
Really? You get a splitting headache the next day? And you just talk to your friends about who did the dumbest things? Really? It's amazing how deluded looking at it, he's trying to get pleasure. Instead of enjoying intelligent things, people want to enjoy themselves doing the dumbest things in the dumbest state of mind. Pathetic, isn't it? Please remember this. What Krishna says in the verse. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-control. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. So we're giving you all lessons, beginning lessons in becoming introspective sages. You know what a sage is?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
You know what a sage is? A sage is a wise person, a very deep thinker, who understands that getting spiritual knowledge is the most important activity in life. You can be a sage. A very wise, deep person. You can also. Everyone here, you can have that chance. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself is training you up how to be a sage. Yes? You can be a sage too?
Well, that's some pretty self-control, but I don't know about spiritually aware.
As long as you're not spiritually aware, you become victimized by material nature. You become victimized by the matrix of illusion. You have to be able to see where you're going, otherwise you will become deluded. The delusion may manifest in not being able to properly make use of your time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah. Quite often, I become excitable, or I become irritable, or I think about all sorts of trivial nonsense, and I should be thinking about something better.
Right. So you need to train yourself. You need a lifestyle of training. So Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they'll train you how to make proper use of your valuable human form of life. Once again, this is the gradual development of spiritual culture, which you're learning how to take pleasure in. Amazing. What do you think?
I have no thoughts on it before. Just trying to take it all in.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing a sage does. Just starts to take it all in. You can become a wise person and then help others to be wise. That will be the best use of your life. Alright, any questions? Yes, our charity worker, do you have any questions?
He's coming by saying you're trying to work in a car.
Now you know you're a motorcycle man.
I'm trying to work out, you know, on Monday when you mentioned about the vacuum cleaner and relationships, I didn't get it. It split open my head. And we're discussing the Bhagavad Gita with a couple of the doctors who are Hindu, and they're actually quite familiar with, they've actually read it themselves, and Dr. Arthur.
They read Bhagavad Gita as it
is? They have. Yeah. I don't know whether or not it's this particular one, but they have with Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, well.
And yeah. We've got talking, and we mentioned, you know, about different things that happen here. And then we mentioned about relationships, and I mentioned about sort of this analogy with the vacuum cleaner, and they didn't get it either. It's something that medical people won't get.
Sometimes when you're too absorbed in something, you can't see it. Well, you'll have to ask one of the staff members here.
That's known as passing the buck, that, isn't it?
What was the context of the back being able to build?
You're talking to the musician,
yeah,
about relationships and what have you, and you sort of mentioned about women being like a vacuum cleaner.
Not exactly. No, I didn't say it exactly like that.
What did you say?
I didn't say exactly like that. I speak in the context of materialistic relationships and how each one uses the other. So if you haven't had the experience, you don't have to worry about it. What happens when you turn a vacuum cleaner on? So what's the action of a vacuum cleaner? Yeah. So in a materialistic relationship, yes, often ladies can be like that. But guess what? The men like it. So you can't fault one side or the other. It's just a whole complication. Your money is lost. Your energies are lost. You become absorbed in something. The musician, he knew. He knew exactly what it was all about. But how can you put it all on the ladies when the men want this? You have to see both sides. But that's materialistic. So that was the only thing you were discussing with the doctor?
Along with sort of the medical stuff and what have you and what have you. We were just talking and what have you, and we got on to sort of religion and, you know, religious beliefs and what have you.
You bring your Bhagavad Gita to work?
No, I've only just got one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, but congratulations. Well, bring it to work.